What is Globaloria?
Globaloria is providing courses for computer science, engineering, game design, and coding for middle school and high school students throughout the United States and the world.
What sort of courses?
The courses are based on the idea that we learn best any content, whether it's in mathematics or in English language arts or in history, through game design, computer programming, and social construction of knowledge.
So when you say game design, are you teaching them literally to code games, or are they learning to express ideas in gaming?
So I will share with you some of these visuals that we have brought here today. You can see students in middle school and high school sitting and following our digital online curriculum that is situated on a platform. So it's blended learning in classrooms, the digital textbooks, the digital workbooks, the project spaces, all the teacher resources, all the students' resources are all online. But we train teachers to guide the class. It has scope and sequence, 40 hours each course. And in that course, they work topic by topic on how to come up with an idea for a game and play similar games that we're carefully curating in math or science, language arts or civics or history. And then they learn how to create design documents, do research, build paper prototypes. And you can see that they end up coming up with this really amazing games on civics, on history, on mathematics, chemistry, biology, life cycle of the cell. It's all blended learning, project-based learning. We're probably the only K-12 MOOC out there that is blended, truly blended, which means that all the learning curriculum, all the learning spaces, the social construction of knowledge network is all digital, but we train teachers to run the class, to manage it, to form the teams, and we have embedded assessments for the teachers and evaluation rubrics to guide them how to really run a project-based class. But it's a college-level class in exactly the same sequence, like 13 weeks or 15 weeks when you meet two or three or four times a week and you go through a very set curriculum. The difference is that we're not video-based like the other MOOCs. We're actually project-based. So their assignment is to come up with an idea and to go topic by topic, subtopic by subtopic, and move through our progression to come from like not knowing anything about constructing something alone or together to being able to create an interactive educational app or an interactive scientific simulation or a playful game that can campaign about a topic that is important for the school. And it's a fantastic program.
It certainly seems to be teaching kids also to collaborate.
Exactly. I think one of the most important skills for this generation is to learn online, to dig deeper into content in a self-driven way, but to also learn in teams and learn in groups to figure out how to solve big problems, problems that are not just the PBLs that take 6 hours or even a week or 2 weeks to solve. This PBL, project-based learning, can take 40, 60, 80 hours to solve, because just like with reading and creative writing, they learn to read games from the perspective of the writer. We curated excellent games, both from previous years and previous students, as well as professional games, the professional game designers, game developers out there. We teach them step-by-step how to come up with a design document with very thoughtful, deep research. They learn how to do paper prototyping. They learn how to work alone or in a team to create hidden object game that is one scene with a few game elements, and then like maybe an action game that has more game ingredients and a narrative and a character, to a multi-level game. And our uniqueness is that we teach not through like drag and drop object-oriented languages, but through professional programming languages that are out there in the industry. So they can learn JavaScript and Unity 3D. They learn Flash ActionScript like professional game designers. They learn HTML5. And they learn all the industry standard iterative engineering cycle that we use in software development or hardware development. When you go again and you refine from planning to prototyping to coding, and then you kind of realize that you have to change the design maybe because you're not yet such a good coder, or maybe because it's too complex of a scenario or the narrative doesn't make sense. Maybe you did playtesting with a peer or with a target user, and you need to revise your design. You learn to speak publicly and present it online. The students actually connect to experts on demand on the help desk, and they also can request an overnight review. A teacher can request our help desk to help him or her teach a sequence on the whiteboard, because we're not expecting them to know computer programming or to know computer science, or they don't always fully understand how do you grade students who work in a team. How do you really understand what each is doing? So we teach the teachers that there is a mentor teacher that will come and help the teacher evaluate the project. So there's a lot of resources online. It's a very rich learning environment. It's a really multidimensional learning culture that we create in this blended learning system.
That's extraordinary. Where does it go? I mean, is it available to all schools? Is it only available to certain schools? If, say, somebody wants to have this at their kid to have access to this, how do they find it?
Well, we are providing it for middle schools and high schools for the last 7 years. Over the years, we had requests from public schools, charter schools, after schools, boys and girls clubs, different summer camps in museums, school summer camps. We even tried it in certain community colleges and universities. Our courses are very successful. We get 95% course completion, which is a lot. As you know, the other courses that people do online, like on Udacity and Coursera, are less than 10%. And so we created all these hooks and all these steps to handhold the students and the teacher. So they really end up creating very fun and engaging process that is very super creative. It's create a product that works, right? They have these progress trackers, and all of our curriculum really fits for public schools, charter schools, private schools, parochial schools, and our teachers are very carefully trained. We're the only ones out there that combine two platforms, one for the school and the students and one for the teachers. When the teachers actually go through some of the same steps in the curriculum in our training, which is 3 days for first-year teachers, very thorough training, when they can go through the curriculum and learn themselves for the first time in their lives, what does it mean to learn in a blended learning, project-based way? And then as a learner, they can start reflect on what will it mean to teach in this way. So you and I talked before about constructionist learning versus instructionist learning. I think most of the MOOCs out there, most of the online learning environments that are out there right now are instructionists. They're amazing video lectures by expert professors that anybody, anywhere, anytime can watch. There are amazing resources and tutorials that anyone can come from their bedroom, whether they're in the United States or in India or from their school, and use. This is different because we dig deeper into knowledge through a very structured course. It's not just, we have a lot of tutorials, and we even send the students to other people's resources and tutorials. But they do it because the hook is the motivation to do interest-driven learning, passion-driven learning through making a game about something they care about.
Absolutely great. How much does it cost a school to implement?
We are $75 per student, including everything. I actually brought here something to share with you that will give you a sense of that. So every school, when they sign in, they get to buy the platform with free access, with full access to all of our courses, fully hosted on the cloud, maintained with all the professional development that is in person, as well as the mentoring system, the online dashboards for the teachers and the enhancements of the evaluation rubrics, embedded assessments, as well as help desk that is always there for the teachers, as well as for the students, and experts on demand, and all of that. So you can imagine it's much cheaper per student than textbooks with workbooks, with maybe different kinds of training the teachers need to get. If you bundle it all together, the courseware, the service that we're giving even during the year, every day, every week, students work on this sometimes an hour a day or 2 hours a day in some of our schools for like 2 or 3 or 4 years. So it's a pretty amazing package that we are offering. We know that schools can afford it now. I couldn't tell you this 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. But right now, there is a national mandate to offer STEM, to offer computer science education, to train teachers, to embed it and integrate it into many core subjects. And there is a national mandate for broadband learning. And I think we're going to see more and more and more demand for this. So I think we have 140,000 schools in the United States, of which maybe 75 or 70,000 of them will be middle school and high school, which is our target enrollment. And maybe half of them are now already connected to broadband. And again, that's new, and more schools are coming up. And everyone has at least a few laptop carts and like one lab with desktops that can actually host 30 or 50 or 60 students. And our teachers can teach large classes, right? And they can even teach more than one class and offer it to the sixth graders, then the seventh graders, then the eighth graders. What we see in some of these schools that you see here is that, for example, a school will pick to do math enhancement with math games for the sixth graders, and then the kids will learn to create scientific simulations in the seventh grade. And then maybe they'll do health games in eighth grade. And then they'll do history or civics games in ninth grade, and so on, and then do an independent study and do something with like a 3D world. We see different principals really schedule it in different ways and bring different teachers to do it. And by now we have templates for everything. Half of our students will do core, half of our students will do it as an elective. Like Game Design 1, Game Design 2, or Computer Science 1, Computer Science 2. We have templates that are supporting teachers, whether they do it this way or that way.
They want to work on it. Let's say they're working on a project, they want to work on it from home. Because it's web-based, can they just log in?
Of course. So they get a unique screen name, registration, email that they can use because their school subscribed and they're a member, and we keep it very private, very safe, and very secure. They can log in from home if the school allow them to do that, and usually, of course, schools are encouraging. Unfortunately, in many of the populations where we are, the kids don't always have broadband at home or a computer that can really process broadband at home. So they can maybe read some of the tutorials and watch some of the videos. They can do some of their designer notebook blogs. They can do certain things. But we realized when we started 7-8 years ago, we realized that millions of kids in the United States of America, if we have a social responsibility for them. If we don't do it in the school and if we don't allocate at least an hour or two a day to do it, they will have no access to quality education that is blended learning, broadband learning, very rich project-based learning. So right now, our methodology is to provide that full rich environment in the school. Some of the schools are already encouraging the kids to use it at home. Because of equality issues, teachers cannot yet assign the kids to do things at home unless the teacher knows for 100% that all kids have broadband and computers that can really run this program. But we will definitely see a homeschool connection down the road. Certain districts, certain schools already have that, and that's really where we're heading. We're also in the process of launching a consumer product. This is a school product designed for school with all the supports for teachers every step of the way. Down the road, we're launching a home product where parents can register the kids to exactly the same course, and they will have subscription that is home-based for the family and for the kids, and we're going to launch that in 2015.
So I was going to ask you about home-based and homeschooling, because it is on the rise and more people feel that they need to homeschool. Also, the people who live away from, you know, we've still got a large rural population. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely fantastic. And you'll make that at a price point that will be acceptable, easy for parents.
So there is a difference between homeschoolers that really create groups with some sort of a moderator or a mentor or a teacher. It can be a parent or a parent that is really hosting multiple kids, and or they sometimes even bring a teacher. So the homeschoolers can probably run it already, and they do, like a class, right? And they just structure it just like a school, right? We will just launch a platform for them, for that particular group, whatever state or district they are. We even have some homeschoolers that come to the Global Aurea classes. You know how sometimes homeschoolers can go to their local public school or charter school to take a class? And we do have some Global Aurea students who are actually homeschoolers who come especially for the Global Aurea class in their school, just because that's something the parents felt, oh my God, that is something we want our kid to take, and we cannot offer this at home because we can't mentor this and shape our students. It's good that they learn it in a group. But what I'm talking about is a consumer product, when a kid or a brothers and sisters or a group of kids at home can just subscribe, just like you subscribe to apps, and they will just do it as a consumer product when they're just one person or one family just doing it, and then they can do it once a week, they can do it every day, they can do it 4 Saturdays, 8 hours every Saturday, and it's up to them to structure it as they want and graduate the course on their own.
How exciting. I would love it.
Thank you.
I would love it. Is there anything I didn't know to ask you that you want to add?
Well, we've been winning the best awards out there, which we're very proud, and I brought here to share with you the awards that we won from the Tech Museum, the Tech Awards from the Tech Museum in Silicon Valley, which is like the Oscars of Silicon Valley. We won the Chief Information Officer CIO Magazine Awards. The District Administration picked us as 100 top applications for schools to use in 2014. That's all the superintendents. Google Rise recently picked us as a leading provider for computer science education for underrepresented minorities and girls. The National Center for Women in IT wrote this report that says that Globaloya is a promising practice to engage girls and introduce them in a very friendly and warm way to computer science, software engineering, and design. We named it Globaloya for that reason, actually, to tell you the truth. It's about global innovation. We felt that maybe giving it too technical name like coding or computer science or engineering will turn off a lot of the population in schools today, and including the teachers. So we've been reaching out to so many schools. I think we have served today around 4,000 girls and close to 7,000 boys, and maybe 700 to 900 educators and education leaders. Maybe 38% of our students are girls, which is a lot. The national average, as you know, is 17 or 18%. And 70% are teachers who are women. And I see this as a major accomplishment, because most teachers will say, I'm not a computer science teacher, I'm not an engineer. And we say, but you're a math teacher, you're an English language teacher, you're a history teacher. We're just going to build on that expertise. And we are going to bring the software engineering, game design, and computer science concept and computational thinking in through the network. What we want you to be is who you are, an amazing teacher that is a content expert. The kids will design the games on the content that you know how to teach. It will help you wake them up and cover everything you want them to cover through your worksheets and textbook. And you will manage the class in a new way that is blending your frontal teaching of the content with their ability to learn by themselves from online through our tutorials and our coursework, the software design, game design, and engineering. And it's a win-win because the kids are excited. 97% of kids are playing games. Who do you know that doesn't want to create one, right? So it's very exciting for the kids when we come with this proposition. Hey, come and learn how to make a game. We have one restriction, that it has to be an educational game. So this is why principals love us, because the kids are getting engaged and thinking about, what is this that I want to teach? What was hard for me? What was complex about anatomy or about branches of governments and civics and democracy? What is complex to explain about climate change or about functions or pre-algebra concepts? And then I'm going to create a game about that. And then they dig deeper into the epistemology of the content, which is really what we want kids to do, to delve deep into content.